Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me here in the year 2024, and I'm about to be in Sydney and Brisbane. Sydney from the 8th to the 12th of May, Brisbane from the 16th to the 19th of May, doing my show Dryer Dryer at the respective comedy festivals in those cities. But I'm also, while I'm up there, I figured I had a couple of days to kill, so I'm doing a Who Knew It with Matt Stewart on Monday, the 13th of May at the Chippendale Hotel, and in Brisbane at Good Chat Comedy on the 14th of May. And you can get tickets for all of that. Now, go to mattstewartcomedy.com for the links. mattstewartcomedy.com. Now, on with the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates Podcast. Did I say that right?
Matt, don't ask me.
Don't ask you. Great. No. All right, good.
It's the first episode of your podcast.
That's true. So whatever and I just said is what this podcast is.
100%. 100%. So, I don't know how they treat you over on Do Go On.
Oh, well, not this well.
But they've obviously given you some kind of complex that you can't get anything right. Whereas here, right, you can't get anything wrong.
Great. Okay, great. Well, welcome to Primates Podcast.
Is that how you're going to say it?
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry.
My very first guest, Mr. Andy Matthews.
Hello.
I'd call you one of my prime mates.
Yeah.
Which I guess is what the double meaning of the name is.
Yeah, yeah. And also, this is the first episode, so number one, and that is a prime number.
Great. Technically, I think it's episode two because I've recorded a solo.
Also
intro.
A prime number.
Great. Thank God. Oh, my goodness. That was a real close call. So this podcast, we're going to be talking about primate-related movies and TV shows with some of my very good friends. And you're just such a prime example of a prime mate. Andy, look at that. I said prime again.
Yeah, yeah. There's going to be a fair bit of that, isn't there?
No.
No?
No, okay. Certainly not. we go a while back. Stupid Old Studios, where we're recording now, we are both – we created this world.
Yeah, yeah.
In a lot of ways, you did.
I built some of the walls.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I also tore down a few.
You did. Yeah, you did both of those things.
Betwixt you and I.
Yes. When God puts up a wall, Andy tears down another or whatever that old saying is. Is that the one?
Yeah, that's more or less exactly it. Yeah. They don't say when God created the walls, but hopefully it was somewhere in between making the... sort of, I guess, the toilet.
Yes.
And the hand washing area.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Which I prefer to be inside the toilet room, ideally.
Yeah,
if possible. I don't, you know those ones where you got to go into a hallway?
Right, yeah. And sometimes there's a unisex hand washing area.
Nah, no good.
But separate toilets.
I mean, that can be fine if you're walking on the way through. That's efficient, I suppose. All right. I take it all back. I've done very little, official study of house planning. Is that what they call the area of study? I feel like this is going swimmingly early. I do have a no editing policy. So
yeah, great.
Fuck, hey.
Let's test that.
You have come in with your favorite primate-related movie.
Oh, wow.
Or at least most readily available on Netflix currently.
Yeah, that's correct. You said, do you have a movie that you want to watch? I said, let's see what's on Netflix or Stan.
Yes.
And I believe we Googled chimps or monkeys.
Yeah.
We searched and or even primates maybe, and we came up with this film.
And it's called MVP, Most
Valuable
Primate.
Yes.
Bloody hell, it's right in the title. Here's a little preview.
Wait a minute, it's a monkey. The producers of Air Bud.
Let me tell you right now, this Jack, song the is not in the film.
Who skates a little faster, shoots a little harder, and is driving everyone bananas.
Bananas is good.
MVP. Most valuable primate.
Are we going to have like monkey bars in here and stuff?
That's two times I mentioned monkeys in the 30-second yes. preview. Of yes. course, the star, Jack, is not a monkey. It's a chimp.
A chimp and a point that is made in the movie, I believe, at some point. They do say he's not a monkey, he's an ape.
Well, isn't that disappointing in a lot of ways that message did not come through to the preview?
I think it's just clear, like what you got to do to sell films these days. Very often sell out your ideals.
Mm, I think that might be true. This film was released in the year 2000, and maybe in a lot of ways it's, you know, a pre-9/11 world. The world was a lot more naive in those times. Do you think that played into it at all?
Yeah, they several times in the movie mention that it's a pre-9/11 world, which I thought was really interesting.
Very self-aware.
It made me a little suspicious.
Yeah. It is a little bit. There was an airport scene with very little security. Do you notice that?
Yes. Yes. Where a monkey was very...
Sorry, Andy, please.
A chimpanzee was very easy to get onto the plane there. And my wife had a similar comment about the train scene.
Yes.
Which we'll get onto, I'm sure.
Yeah, we'll get on that train.
Yes. Yeah. Watched it with her. She didn't make it through the whole film.
We should say right up the top, spoiler alert.
Okay.
Please pause now if you are going to watch this movie.
Yes.
Watch it and come back because we are going to be really getting into some pretty key plot points.
Let me tell you, there are a few twists and turns in the old plot of MVP in the 90-minute running time of this doozy.
They cover a lot of ground.
They do.
Yeah, they really do.
A lot in the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then not very much for the rest of it.
It's for a little while, you forget that this is a movie about a chimp that plays ice hockey.
Yeah.
I reckon for half an hour, you're going, I mean, there's been no ice hockey chimp work at all.
So you've given away a pretty big point there. This is a movie about a chimp that plays ice hockey.
It is. That is very true.
Do you want to do a rundown of the plot? How do you want to go through this?
Well, can I kick it off? And this will give a really nice snapshot of the whole movie. This is
Beautiful.
What was written on the poster.
Yes.
A comedy about a rookie player who skates a little faster, shoots a little harder, and is driving everyone bananas. I assume it's bananas, not bananas.
Yeah, it's definitely written as bananas.
Bananas. When they said in the preview, that made me feel so good. Bananas.
Yeah?
Isn't that a way more fun way to say bananas?
So much more fun.
It's bananas.
Mm.
I love pronunciations are so fun. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
The Americans and us, or Canadians.
Sometimes they're
case.
Different. There's really probably a YouTube video in it, I reckon.
Yeah. I reckon that could be viral. Should we pause and put something together?
Absolutely. Let's pause and put something together. We'll come back to this.
Okay.
Oh, my God, Matt. That was a hectic 12 months.
I'm looking at the...
Weird was it when we went on Ellen DeGeneres' show?
So good, though. I thought she was great. Portia was out the back.
She's very natural.
The partner of Ellen.
Mm.
And she
and
danced
also,
around
another
the
way you can pronounce the name Porsche. I believe that's how Americans pronounce it. Matt, we've got to do
Quick
another
pause.
Video.
Yep.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about everything that happened.
Oh, my goodness. Andy, I don't know if I can talk to you anymore.
Oh.
But that was
anyway,
fun, wasn't
we
it?
We've got to do the podcast.
Yeah, we should just get this out of the way and then we'll talk no longer.
Mm-hmm.
So it is the movie's about a chimp named Jack who plays ice hockey.
Yes.
It's a viral... Quite a random series of events.
Mm. Oh, yeah, totally, totally unexpected. But, you know, played out in beat by beat, monotonous detail.
Yes.
Via montages.
Yes. A lot of, like, they really, I think they must have been so proud of how they, because the chimp is played by a chimp or three chimps, actually. Mm. And I think they
not
must
at the
been...
same time, just to be clear. It's not three chimps in a big chimp suit.
Did you notice at the end of the movie, obviously we're skipping ahead a bit here, but when Jack was reunited with its family at the reserve, I'm pretty sure it was meeting the two other actors that played itself.
I don't think they had other chimps floating around. I don't think they had spare chimps on this movie.
I don't think they were really anywhere near identical either.
Not even slightly, no.
Which is fun.
No, I think, probably a big difference between this and the Air Bud series. So obviously this movie emerges from the popular Air Bud series.
Yes.
Robert Vince,
yes.
Who I looked up.
The genius Robert Vince.
The genius Robert Vince, who directed this film, was a producer along, I believe, with his brother on the original Air Bud film, which was itself quite a successful film about a dog that can play basketball,
yep.
Which was based on a dog that could play basketball.
Right.
There was a real dog called Air Buddy who, his owner adopted him and taught him to play a bunch of sports.
Was there really a most valuable primate that this movie was based on? Do you know about that?
I am sorry to say that I don't think this is based on it.
That's interesting.
A true story. Not in the way that Air Bud was.
I read that Air Bud's working title was MVP, Most Valuable Pup.
Really?
So it's a bit of a hangover from that.
I wonder if that was part of Robert Vince's vision and why he felt he needed to take the reins to get this one.
A very different movie. Obviously, the Air Bud movies were about a dog who'd come in and play a sport, whereas this movie is about a chimp who comes in and plays a sport.
But I do believe that the lead actor in Air Bud is the same.
Same teen heartthrob.
Same teen heartthrob, yeah.
Kevin Zegers.
Zegers. Who has gone on to have a career as an actor slash model,
yes,
I believe.
Which is
We've
the
done
best.
The same research. That's great.
Well, I mean, obviously you could have gone down so many different paths to find out what Kevin Zegers is up to.
Yeah, yeah. But I chose the Wikipedia route.
Yeah, I like that route. That's a great route. To be honest, there's not a lot out there on this movie. What I love is that it was a big success and it spawned not one, but two sequels.
We're talking about Air Bud or we're talking about MVP?
We're talking about MVP.
We're
back to MVP.
Yes.
Including MVP
2.
2, Most Vertical Primate.
Where he's a skateboarder.
And then MXP, Most Extreme Primate. Where it's sort of like
and I'm going to tell you right now that I will be back on this show.
Yes, we got
to review both of those.
Great.
To get that trilogy ticked off.
But so what got us off on this tangent, we were talking about the detail that they really... I feel like they were so proud of the work the chimps were doing in, like, dressing itself, getting out of bed, hitting the alarm clock.
These are chimps. So these are chimps acting as chimps.
Yes.
We've got no men in suits in this.
That's right.
We've got no CGI. This is three well-trained chimps doing all the things that chimps are required to do to make a movie about chimps.
Yes.
So what are your classics? You've got your reaching up to hold somebody's hand.
Yes.
You've got that weird lip thing.
Yeah, that sort of fart noise with the lips.
Yep. And you've got a bit of sign language.
Yes. And there were some... So the whole series of this podcast started because I fell in love with Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yes.
And there were a few little things that I reckon maybe Rise of the Planet of the Apes took from MVP.
Really? In homage.
Yeah, like there's a sign in which is pretty crucial in the Planet of the Apes reboot series where you're showing that you're a lower ape by showing the palm of your hand to another ape,
right.
And then they touch your hand to show that they accept you as an inferior ape or whatever.
Interesting that we don't have that in the human world.
No, I know, it'd be handy.
Everyone's equal.
Yeah, handshakes are side on. See, with the chimps, they turn that vertical.
That is
almost
kind of the
horizontal
way Trump
even.
Shakes hands.
Yes. Does he? Which side does he put it at? Low or high?
I think he goes on top.
He goes on top. Well, that makes sense.
Do you think he could also be doing an homage?
An homage
to MVP, Most Valuable Primate.
I think he could be.
Interesting.
Anyway, in MVP, that was done when the sister character.
Yes.
Ends up meeting Jack, and that's how they meet each other, doing that hand gesture.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is interesting. And the other one that I think was clearly taken from, there was this bit where Jack climbed up a tree, and that happened quite a bit early in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, really?
Caesar would climb trees.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I remember you might have missed this one, but Rise of the Planet of the Apes does end with an ice hockey match.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that's a post-credit scene, I think.
What was it, the Heather's Cup? forgotten. Oh, the Harvest Cup.
Harvest Cup.
The yes, Harvest Cup.
The Harvest Cup. Which, so, so the, this movie, once they finally, should we talk about how they get to hockey first?
Should we, do you want to start from the very beginning?
Let's do it.
Okay, so.
We meet Jack in bed.
Yes.
But at first, we don't know it's a chimp. It could be anyone. Okay. He's under the covers.
Right.
What the a fun reveal. When we see a hairy arm pop out.
Okay.
And well, hit the alarm.
But we're still not sure.
Yeah, could be. I mean, we are going to see a chimp movie. Yes. But there's no guarantees. It could be a double fake out.
I always keep an open mind yes, to these things.
I don't want to be made sixth, a fool
sixth
of.
Sixth Sense. Mm. I've never trusted anybody.
Yeah. When
certainly not a movie film.
Well, that ended with Bruce Willis being a chimp?
He was a chimp.
Yep, all along.
That scene at the very end where the alarm clock goes off and he reaches out his yeah, big hairy arm.
Yep. Ghost chimp.
I felt quite the fool.
Yeah, I felt like an idiot.
Mm.
Anyway, that's Shyamalan for you.
Yep.
Is Shyamalan involved in this movie? Am I saying Shyamalan right?
I think you are.
Thank you. So we meet Jack. I think it takes about, 30 to 40 minutes, this bedroom scene. He slowly gets dressed. And then his job
is very. It's the
first
of many, many montages made of small scenes of monkeys doing things.
Sorry,
that people,
Andy, please, chimps.
Chimps doing things that your human primates would do.
Yes, which is great. That's great cinema.
I'm very happy to watch this.
Yes.
And then we reveal, in sort of a minor twist, that his little house is behind glass.
Right.
And he comes out onto a stage with a curtain that is drawn back for him to do a sort of a face-to-face interview.
Yeah, it's like a behind the actor's studio.
Yes.
Is that the
behind the actor's studio?
Which is the show they do behind the inside the actor's studio show.
Yeah, yeah, yep. Where they do a bit of a commentary and break down all yes, the stuff that's happened.
Which is really good.
It's fascinating to get an insight into the process of the people who make Inside the Actors Studio.
Yes. And then we find out he's basically doing like a low-level magic trick where a very old professor is talking to a lecture theatre.
A poorly attended lecture theatre.
Yeah.
Sparsely.
But theatre in capital letters, right?
Yes.
This is a lecture theatre, right?
Yes.
And then he asks Jack, the old fella asks Jack, I've got this many
Dr.
bananas.
Dr. Kendall is his name.
Dr. Kendall, sorry. I'm going to take away this many bananas. How many bananas left for Jack? Jack puts up three hands even though it would be four.
Right.
Dr. Kendall looks disappointed. The class laugh at this chimp.
Mm.
They're laughing at him.
For getting it wrong.
For getting it wrong. What kind of educational environment is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Jack realizes his error or he's being cheeky, as monkeys often are, which he isn't, obviously.
Yes.
And then he puts up four fingers. Dr. Kendall calls an end to the class. He's sweating.
Now, yeah, and at this point we start to realize that not all is right with Dr. Yes. Kendall. And we can see that this is where the film's going to take a dramatic turn.
Yep.
Because I've never seen, like, you see a lot of people in movies who are close to death or who are about to die. I've never seen an actor who I plausibly believe is actually closer to death than the guy who played Dr. Kendall.
I think it was very much like, you know how in a lot of movies and TV shows and they need a baby, they'll have to go to the hospital and get a real fresh baby.
Yes.
Well, I think they did the same in reverse in this case. They went to a morgue or
they
probably
needed to get rid of a baby.
An old people's home. And they found the most close to death patient they could find.
And that's indicative, I think, of Robert Vince's style as a director. Yeah. He gets a real chimp to play the chimp.
Yes.
He gets a real dying man to play this dying man.
And have you ever seen... So he calls an end to the class. He says to Jack, he says, how are we ever going to convince people you're a genius if you muck about like that? So I guess this class that people are going to study at is to convince students that the chimpanzee is a genius.
The specific chimp is a genius. I didn't have a problem with that per se. Like, I think he's trying to make a point about primate intelligence.
Right.
And
so what's this class?
It's a practical class. I imagine that there are other components. You're right. It's a observational practical class. Carried out in a lecture theatre where they normally aren't, And it is a real theater, mind you, with a curtain.
Enough students in the class that they could have fit in Jack's bedroom.
Yes.
Why not take the show to him?
Look, I don't know.
I mean, all of that's fun. Anyway, so a phone call is made by the professor after the class, and he says, I think the Jack experiment's coming to an end. I want to send him back to the Simian Park.
Oh, so he's already given up on proving that he's a genius.
By the end of that, that conversation was done. He said by that night he was like, I'm sending him home. Then he says quite
back
ominously.
To El Simian Nature Park, yes. Where Jack's parents are.
AKA Jack's co-stars,
yes.
The other Jacks.
Yeah, interesting.
He said, the doctor says, and this feels ominous when he says, I'll get all the paperwork done tomorrow. This guy is clearly about to die.
Yes, if he can't see it. I mean, we can see it.
We can all see it. Why are you sweating, man?
He's sweating so much.
That's the sweat of a dying man.
Is that a thing? Is there such a thing as the death sweats?
Yeah, the death sweats.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
That's
death sweats. Yeah. I'm going to start a band, the death sweats.
That's a good name.
Yes.
I think that would be
my
like.
My favorite form of comedy is saying things and then saying that would make a good band name. Isn't that great? Yeah, I'm going to do a podcast that's just that, I reckon.
I think that's one of the highest forms of wit.
Yeah.
So he set this up. He said, I'll get the paperwork over to you tomorrow. Right. Mm. And then what's our man? What's the director? What's the man with the vision?
Robert Vince. Who made
would you
film?
Call him? He's, I mean, you've got filmmakers, right? And then you've got auteurs.
Mm. Mm.
And I think Vince falls into the latter category.
He's an auteur. Yeah. Definitely. He has these recurring themes that he keeps coming back to. The montage of the monkey doing something. And then in amongst that, also other equally slow scenes where he just plays something out in slow motion with a slightly strange camera angle and muted sound.
Oh, he loved weird camera. He loved pointing it up people's noses. Down, like real dramatic angles. Yeah.
Which you might think are like played out as point of view shots for the monkey, but they're not for the primate.
No,
he's not in those scenes very often.
They're just really nightmarish angles.
Yes.
They make me feel uneasy.
And so were you about to get onto the scene in which we see Dr. Kendall die?
Obviously he's made the phone call. Obviously he's having his nighttime milk.
Huge glass of milk.
Huge glass of milk. And very slowly you see it dropping.
His hand dropping,
and it slowly pours out onto the ground, slow motion, splashing on the ground. And I think in a lot of ways, this shot's less about the milk and more. It's more of it's like an analogy for life falling out of him like milk out of a glass. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think he's a man whose life was, his life glass was entirely full of milk.
Yes.
He hadn't drunk a single drop until the moment when he died and it all went on the ground.
There was so much left to give for the doctor, so obviously apart from
life milk.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, really strange scene, quite dark, quite scary, I think.
Feel like what? And this, we should say this film is almost definitely aimed at children.
It is. I have one point to make on that later on.
Okay, great.
Yeah, when it comes up. So Dr. Kendall's dead.
So this means that now his paperwork's never going to be finished so that he can go back home to his Simian Park.
And this presents, I guess, an interesting conundrum, doesn't it, for the dean of the faculty?
Yes.
The dean of science at
dastardly
the faculty.
The dastardly dean.
What would you do in that scenario, do you think?
I think...
H.F. Peabody, by the way, is his name.
H.F. Peabody. Great. He's a great character. Mm. Great cartoon character villain.
Mm. One of the classics, I reckon. That sort of
energy, like... Mm-hmm. Steam coming out of his ears kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I think if I was him, I would be like, I'd ask Jack, where do you want to go? Jack would have patted his head in sign language for home, which I think is also sign language for home in Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Interesting. But unfortunately in sign language, I believe the word home is very similar to the word an HIV research facility.
Hepatitis.
A hepatitis research facility.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a tonal language, I believe.
That's
right. So those things can be easily misinterpreted.
You're saying hepatitis research facility? Okay. So and they overhear that, Jack and his best mate, the janitor.
The janitor, interesting character.
He's an interesting character. Yeah. And they've got a tight bond.
Yeah.
Jack and he.
Yes.
And they overhear this conversation with the dastardly dean that they're going to send him to a hepatitis. And the janitor's like, hepatitis, that's bad, right? Mm. So they come up with this great plan to sneak him off via train to the Simeon Mobile Disco park where he lived. And they play it out beautifully.
He puts him in a bag, takes him to the train, pops him on the train, gets off the train. Now, this is when Carly said, that would never happen today. I think maybe Carly is overstating, you know, I mean.
Remembering this is a pre-9/11 world.
It is a pre-9/11 world.
You can leave a bag.
Yeah.
You can't leave a bag on a train anymore.
I think there's different standards of security for trains. I think you probably would still get away with it.
Right.
On a train today, even today. Anyway, I just brought this up to say that my wife was wrong about something.
No, I'm with Carly on this one, okay?
Yeah.
Agree to disagree.
Okay.
What do you think about the scene? I mean, for a little bit of bit of comic relief, the lights go out and he steals the conductor's hat.
Yeah, you'd think that might come in, be relevant later on. It's played out.
In no way.
Is that relevant later on. It's been a while since we've had a really slow montage in the movie, which it was why I was glad that they would then go into a very slow montage.
Of a train, life inside a bag on a train.
Yes. But also bold, I thought, was intercutting the slow montage with some slow motion footage as well of a little girl in a classroom not getting invited to a children's
yes,
party.
Yes, those invitations were slow motion being thrown out.
Thrown willy-nilly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're being introduced now to the other side of the story, the young girl whose brother's a star hockey player.
Yes. Now, and this is actually a thing that I will compliment the film on, quite a sensitive portrayal of what it was like to be that young girl because she was deaf.
Yes.
And it was quite interesting. You know, this scene plays out and with sound muted, I didn't realise what was going on at the time. And then you realise that she is deaf.
Yes.
I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. I've been forced to confront something there.
And it's the kind of thing that you wouldn't really expect in this movie.
No.
There to be any layers at all. But
yeah, but it's quite good. And it makes sense. It really plays into the concept of the film that is that now she can communicate with Jack and also her brother can because they speak sign language.
Yes.
And there's got a nice bit there about accepting difference and, you know, yeah, being open to things. I didn't, you know, and you learn that you see things through the ears of a deaf person. I don't know if deaf people also see the world in slow motion, which was also going on in this scene.
Yeah. I think they accidentally had the camera stuck on the wrong setting a few times during the shoot because that did happen a bit when it seemed slightly inappropriate, but maybe that was an auteuristic choice by our auteur.
Yes. Well, I would expect nothing less.
Mm. He runs an autatorship, as we know, the man Vince. Robert Vince.
Man, what a vision.
And we meet the team, the hockey team.
The Nuggets. What do you think about Nuggets as a name for a...
I'm fine with it. Maybe it was a gold mining town.
I reckon that's what it would be.
Yeah.
There's a team in the NBA called the Denver Nuggets.
Right.
I quite like it. Nuggets. I think chicken nuggets.
You think solid. I think solid lumps.
Solid lumps.
And that is definitely that's indicative of the team, I guess.
Yes.
They're hard hitting and they're hard fighting. And you meet them and they're all just fighting on the ice.
Yep.
Just strangling each other.
It's a low level B grade junior hockey competition.
Yeah. Yeah. But then they seem to have the chance to go to an incredibly high level
very quickly.
The Harvest Cup.
The jump between their whole season and the final.
I'm not a sports fan. I don't know how these things work. But I understand you can lose, say, 2/3 of the season and then turn it around with a chimp player and make it to probably the biggest hockey competition in Canada.
They're in Vancouver at what was looked like a professional stadium.
Yes.
After playing in small community arenas.
And winning maybe three games that we saw.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then, not even a semi-final.
No,
it
no,
was
no.
just like, you've done it. You've made it to what seems like now, and in the end, professional hockey
and then you get
contracts are being... It was a real, you know, it was a fast and beautiful rise.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing to watch in action.
So, yeah, that was a big chunk of the movie was, I think we saw about four or five matches. They slowly started turning it around. The coach was a bit of a wisecracking.
Was he? I don't know that he was. I think it felt like they sort of left the space in the script where it would be like, and then we'll put in a wisecracking type coach here.
I mean, he had a couple of good lines there. I liked his work.
Yeah.
I recognize him from somewhere, and I think he reminds me of happier times.
Okay.
So he must have been in something else from my childhood, I think.
Sure.
He was, but if it was an adult film, he would have been a drunk at the start, and he would have cleaned himself.
An adult film.
like not a children's film.
Oh, okay.
Like a normal film. You hear adult film and you think pornography, do
I
you?
Do.
Oh, Andy, I do. Please. Grow up. You haven't seen enough adult films.
But they're an interesting bunch, the Nuggets. There's a guy who's knitting all the time.
Yeah, without heaps. Yeah, I guess they just thought that was a quirky thing for him to do.
Yeah.
But that's fine. And there was another guy who feigned injury until right at the end.
We got to talk about that.
What was that about?
I don't know. That felt like a plot that wasn't in the film.
Yeah.
There's a guy we find out, I think he's the captain of the
team.
Yeah,
he's the captain and
we find out he's supposed to be injured. Then very close to the end of the film, we see him skating around in private practice and he's killing it. And then at the very end of the film, he comes onto the field and scores a goal or almost scores a goal.
Well, he fills in. This is all part of the plot to. Oh, so we should say that Jack has been tracked down by the Dastardly Dean by this point.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's at the very end. But are we still going through the plot?
Sure, let's keep going. Let's jump backwards.
Because we've jumped a huge amount.
I'm gonna assume that.
I'll let you guide this thing. So please,
that's for John. There. No, I don't want to. I feel good about where you were going there.
Okay.
Chronological. I love it.
Our monkey friend, Jack, our chimp friend, misses the train stop for El Simeon. Now, I find it fascinating that this primate-only, open-air wildlife park has its own station.
Its own station. Unless the town is called Simeon Open Air or something similar.
El Simeon.
El Simeon.
Which means the monkey or the...
The simian.
The simian, right?
Yeah, which is a kind of primate.
Yes. And but he misses that stop.
Yes.
A lot of people get off there. It's very popular. He does not. Continues in the bag.
They have said it, and his mate did warn him multiple times, please don't sleep through, just listen out for El Simeon.
Very sensible advice from his friend, the maintenance man.
Feels like a key bit. Like he was awake for a lot of antics, a whole montage full, before he fell asleep for his stop.
I guess that's the thing. We're supposed to see him. He's exhausted himself.
Yes.
With montage.
Yeah, he's got a little light.
All
torch,
montaged out.
A little torch for his head, strap-on torch.
Reading a book
about
a gorilla.
Yeah, yeah.
Looking at pictures of his family and kissing them with his big chimp lips.
Yeah, great lips.
But, yeah, I'm fascinated by the El Simeon Park. And later on, I think we also find out that it has an airport.
Yes. Yes, because they fly
like
there.
Like a major airport, right? Because he's gone there on a jetliner.
Yes. Okay, yeah, that didn't even connect with me. I think I just went, all right, obviously El Simeon is a big town that happens to have a park with three chimps in it.
Three chimps in one tree. No fences that I can detect. And also, and this is a bit of a spoiler, the primates in the park wear clothes.
Yeah, they do.
He gets there fully dressed. And his parents
are splitting.
Also,
are
wearing pants.
Yeah.
And the one who's supposed to be his mum, I suppose, has a flower in her hair.
Yes.
This is not standard wildlife practice park.
No.
Park practice that I'm aware of.
They do things differently at El Simeon.
That's
Primate Park.
I believe that was on the sign. El Simeon. They do things differently.
Which is, I think, is nice. I think it's all like it's come out of clinical studies. This is how they. I think that's this is how they've found that chimps would live in the wild.
If they were given the opportunity.
If they were given the opportunity and like a clothing store.
In one tree, in what looks like quite a cold environment.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wearing
yeah.
like tropical kind of holiday pants.
Yeah. Because that's just how they like to do it. You know, some like the, like Tom from Arnie Donna was out the front as we were coming up wearing shorts and thongs today.
Oh, those people. My dad's one of them.
And winter begins. Like winter has begun here.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And he just goes, nah, I like it. I like the airflow on the legs. Airflow. So maybe the chimps are much like Tom from Auntie Donna.
Sure. But you realize that for Tom from Auntie Donna, the alternative is trousers.
Yes.
Whereas for chimps, the alternative is no pants at all.
Right.
And that's very quite legitimate. A different. That's not an option that's open to Tom from Auntie Donna.
That's true. Well, yeah.
Whereas if the chimps like airflow on the legs, they're going to love no pants
no
at
pants.
All.
No pants. Yeah.
It's
a real dichotomy. If I understand dichotomies, which I don't.
So it's I've got all sorts of problems with El Simeon.
Yeah.
I could go on and on.
I'd love to see, I'm a bit worried about who's running that place.
That joint.
What qualifications they have.
Mm.
But, I mean, Jack loves it. And in the end, isn't that?
He's happy to be home with his parents. Well, how do you feel about chimps in general, in life?
They are the closest. They're the closest animals to humans. Is that correct? 96 to 99%.
98, maybe.
Shared
DNA.
I think
they might use 98 as a statistic in the film.
That feels like to me. That feels I feel like you and I would be further away than that.
I agree.
So you know, like your hair's blonde, mine's red.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be at least 2-3%.
You'd hope.
And we haven't moved on. I mean, you've got a different seeing problem than me. I think your prescription's different. So we're very, I know people do often confuse us. As recent as the comedy festival at a pub, a friend of mine called me Andy Matthews and asked how my work was going.
A friend of yours.
Yeah.
Matt, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, I think you're thinking of Andy when you call me Andy, which is not my name.
But he fought it. No.
Look, I should say very good friend.
Very good close friend. Best good man at my wedding.
Yes, he was.
That's but we're not the same person. We could probably play each other in a movie.
Yeah.
If there was like a chimp version of this, you and I would probably both be cast as Jack, the human, playing on the chimp hockey team.
Yeah, I think we're close enough. We both look like humans, much like all the Jacks look like chimps.
Yes.
I think that's one thing. We said I don't want to throw anyone off. I said they don't look that much alike. They all do look like chimps.
They look exactly like chimps.
So,
see, this is my problem. I don't like chimps.
Right.
I find them terrifying.
Yeah.
And especially I know that adult chimps are not okay. Like, you can be around a child chimp.
Right.
But, like, I think there's a certain age, like 13, 14 or whatever, where they kick over into being, like, violently dangerous psychopaths.
Yes.
Generally, like, genuinely wild, unpredictable animals who are very, very strong.
Yeah, they're super strong.
And very frustrated and angry a lot of the time, especially if you keep them in captivity.
Is it something about their fibers or something means that they're way stronger than us?
Probably,
Something about muscle fibers are intertwined and ours are from side by side, someone said to me recently, or I heard that.
It makes a lot of sense. So they're strong like a cable.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a mighty cable on the.
So they can rip humans apart if they want to.
Yeah.
And you don't like that about them.
I don't like that.
That's something about them I think is very endearing.
And this is.
Don't you think?
But yeah, and there's all this baring of the teeth, which is played for comedy, I assume, in the film.
It's the light and dark of the chimp. Scary. I love that. Will they smile? Will they rip your face off?
And the chimp is also hugging that little girl a lot.
Yeah.
And I want to know how confident they were that they were far enough away from the psychopath chimp.
I imagine there was a gun trained on that chimp at all times, just out of shot.
Even when he was hugging the kid.
Yeah,
And the rule is take the shot.
Take the shot.
Always take the shot.
If you've got the shot, take the shot.
And if something goes down, you take the shot.
Take the shot. to protect her, you might have to kill her.
Because there are worse things than death.
Yes. And that is being ripped apart by a chimp. I'll take the bullet every day.
I absolutely will. Yeah. I absolutely will.
Thank you. I'll put that on the record.
If that ever comes up, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a legal document. You know podcasts are legal documents.
Fantastic. They should be.
They are.
I think along with the organ donor's card in my wallet, I would like an MP3 copy of this podcast to the effect that if
always playing
I'm
on
ever
loop.
Being torn apart by a chimp, take the shot.
Yeah, because I don't think you want to rely on that situation playing out and people going through your wallet, finding an MP3 chip and then finding some sort of a player. I think you need to have some sort of a portable boombox on you at all times.
Mm. Okay, blasting.
Blasting.
This podcast,
start to finish. Hopefully it times out so the relevant...
I mean, fingers crossed.
Yeah. I mean, we could trim it down. But I've got a no editing rule.
No editing policy.
And I am, you know, that's the one thing I will stick to with this podcast.
So the chimp makes it to this little frosty town.
Must have been a real surprise. He thinks he's getting off at the Simian Park.
Yeah.
And instead he's getting off into snow.
He happily
something we assume he's never seen before. Yep. Takes to it, though.
Like a chimp to snow.
Chimp to snow. Like, that's where the saying comes from. Did you know that saying was coined in the year 2000? By the auteur, Bernie Vince.
Bernie.
He's a Melbourne footballer. What's this guy's name again?
Robert Vince.
Robert Vince. Bernie's old man.
And the girl, the little girl that we've met who didn't get the invite to the party, who was deaf, she sees the chimp.
That is Jamie Renee Smith.
Right.
It's her, the actress's name.
When she's in the snow with her brother.
Yes.
It's very cold.
She's eating a banana.
They're out. She's eating a banana. There's a strong banana motif in this film. We see bananas.
This movie
everywhere.
Is bananas.
She eats the banana. The chimp eats a banana. She has a banana toy on her backpack.
Yeah, I know.
She has banana. There's a banana magnet on the fridge, and I believe she has a banana logo pillow.
This film was in part funded by Banana.
Brought to you by Big Banana.
Yeah.
The Big Banana.
The Big Banana. The Big Banana
Queensland.
At Big Banana. Yeah. The Big Banana at Queensland, which is one of Australia's famous landmarks.
Yes. Other countries have statues and beautiful buildings. We have bigger versions of things that you would normally find in a bowl on your table.
Big banana, big mango, big Ned Kelly. Not necessarily in a bowl, but...
Well...
There's two big Ned Kellys I found out recently.
Really?
Yeah, there's multiple big sheep, including the big merino. Mm,
there's the big
which had to be moved. Do you know that?
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Because it was in a place where people stopped driving past.
Oh.
So they're nearly all now, I don't know what came first, but a lot of them that I've seen over the last couple of years traveling around are in Bunnings car parks. I don't know if that means that there are so many Bunnings that if you're ever near a big thing, you're probably near a Bunnings as well, or if the Bunnings are actually attracted to the big
things. Hard to say.
It's one of those ones that I don't think will ever be solved.
There's a study in that.
Anyway, the girl
sees the chimp and she ignores it. She sees him peering around a corner in the night in the cold, and she walks away. She dismisses it as an apparition, as just another symptom of deafness.
Yes,
slow mo, can't hear things, seeing chimps
around corners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she
thought it was Bruce Willis actually. Very
fair
brief.
Enough.
She's like, oh.
Fair enough. She's been fooled before.
I'm not again, Bruce. Nice try. Back to your tree, you old chimp.
Because the chimp is living in a treehouse at this point. He finds a
treehouse. Yeah, tree he house. Finds a very cozy treehouse.
That was my favorite bit of the movie. I loved that treehouse.
It was great.
And it was interesting. There's a bit of a TARDIS effect, I reckon, with that treehouse because it was enormous on the inside.
A beautifully A beautifully set out treehouse.
Very fantastically appointed.
I'd live there.
Definitely that is the sort of thing that you would see on Airbnb now.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what a charming, picturesque.
So nice. And, it, you know, it looked very lived
in. Quaint.
Very lived in, but no one ever.
Yeah, no one there.
I mean, my first assumption was clock's ticking before someone comes back here.
Yes.
Will it be the girls' treehouse? There's a connection here somewhere.
Something's going to happen.
It's just
like
a treehouse in the woods.
Motif, that's going to become relevant? No.
No.
No. It's a, it was another conductor's hat, I think, that treehouse.
Which is another word for red herring.
A conductor's hat.
Conductor's hat.
Something that the monkey spends a bit of time in, but it's not relevant.
Yes.
And our Dean, he finds out that the monkey didn't make it to the hepatitis research facility.
He's furious because this is causing
And he
issues.
Is furious. This is quite the scene.
Yeah. He's well, for some reason, a lot of beneficiaries or benefactors
are
holding back funding until the chimp is found for
they
some reason.
They love this chimp.
Yeah.
Not enough to attend the lectures in the lecture theatre.
No.
And it is a theatre. But they are obsessed with him.
How do you think they would have felt when they knew that he was sending it off to a hepatitis factory anyway?
I don't know
if it's a factory for hepatitis, but...
But that Dean, he goes barging down a corridor, pushing people out of the way who aren't even in his way.
Yeah, students. Like
students.
Young
yes.
young people.
Yes. I dare say another member of the faculty if they'd crossed his path.
Yeah. It was anything goes.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd get away with that anymore. But you got to remember this was a pre-9/11 world.
Yes. And that is an angry Dean.
Yes. You know, you wouldn't get away with that now.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
America has lost its innocence.
And then we see the scene where the Dean steps on a paint tray because the maintenance man is painting the wall.
Green.
Green. That's quite a strange green colour. And the Dean steps on the paint tray. Anything strike you about that scene?
Look, to be honest, I half watched most of this movie. That feels like a part I might have been looking away at, but I do remember that bit. Did he get splattered by green?
Well, we see the footstep.
It was a Green Dean.
We see Green Dean.
Yeah.
Great name for a band. We see him step. Favorite form of comedy. See him step on the tray. We see the paint splash up. We see the Dean angry, and we don't see anything get on his pants.
Right.
Like he's wearing a white linen suit. You'd think that these elements combined would result in a money shot where we see the Dean actually getting splashed.
Yeah.
But we don't see that. And that is another recurring motif in the film, that the Dean splashes or spills a liquid that we do not see make contact with his body.
Right. Because it's all set. It's like that whole scene is set up. For that splash. I remember a splash.
That's why he's painting.
Isn't that funny? Like in my head, that splash happened and that's why I was angry.
Wow. So he created that. That's Robert Vince down to a T. He can create these impressions in your mind just through the use of montage and slow motion.
Yeah.
He can make you think things have happened when in fact they haven't.
What
a
genius.
I think that's actually probably a big part of the chimp directing toolkit is to create the illusion of action.
Yeah, and also to
disparate components.
That and also not allowing your star to kill the crew.
Yes.
Ripping them limb by limb.
I think chewing the face off is the favorite move of the angry chimp.
Is it really? That is a chimp thing?
Yep.
I knew that was somewhere in the primate world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're big face chewers.
Wow.
I don't like it.
Great big grins. Good teeth.
We get a press conference about the missing chimp. Big press conference.
Big, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of journalists.
Scaling changes.
There. This Dean,
I think depending on how many extras were available at the time, these events could be huge or tiny, and you just don't know what's going to happen.
I'm pretty sure there were more people attending that press conference than there were the Harvest Cup in the 30,000 seats.
I'm sure they bought some amazing stock footage. That Harvest Cup crowd was heaving.
It was.
But not quite as heaving as the press conference you are, right?
Oh, that was pumping, that press conference. God, I'm glad I took the time to correct myself from 3,000 to 30,000 for the attendance of that. Really, I should have said 300,000, but I didn't think I could correct myself by that much. And pretty soon we see the chimp. He has a little bit of time with the kids, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He has a little bit of time.
With the brother and
the kids, they start to get to know each other. There's a few other scenes. We probably should move through some of these. Let's make a montage of this.
Okay, great.
So some of the classic moments, there's like, for some reason, there's like an old bitty sort of meeting of community women.
Right, come to the, because the chimp's now moved in with the girl and the ice hockey player. They come to their house.
And for
only for one reason.
And that's for one of them to see the chimp out the window and have a heart attack.
I assume she's dead.
Yeah.
She's just another fatality. This movie, funny
the body
story,
count is
higher body count than Rambo.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. But it feels good to watch
them
go down.
We've previously seen a scene of the chimp skating on roller skates around the corridors with the maintenance man.
Yep.
Any thoughts on the maintenance man, Matt?
Well, I mean, I'm not sure. I think maybe you could say he was a simple man.
Yes.
But he was with a heart of gold, I think, is something.
Absolutely, yeah.
Is it a sensitive portrayal of a man with learning difficulties?
I don't think so. No, not at all.
Great.
No.
Okay, I wasn't sure.
No.
Because they never really brought any real attention to him. He was a very likable guy. So.
Yeah, but the scene in which he's riding his big tricycle with the monkey to the train station and he goes down a little ramp onto the road and manages to bump ungainly over both sides of the little ramp.
I don't remember that bit.
I was like, took a few takes to get him to look that bad at riding his bicycle. Right. And for me, that was like the point at which I was like, this is no longer a sensitive portrayal.
Right, okay.
This is being played for laughs.
Yeah.
Of, look at this idiot.
Right. Yeah, right. That's a shame.
I'm sorry.
And then
before we know it, the monkey's he's playing in the ice hockey team. He takes the clothing via another long montage of getting dressed.
And
such a long montage.
So long. He changes his outfit a few times, tries it in different ways. He keeps looking at this poster, which I found out is for a brand that was paid for product placement. They made chimp special ice skates.
Oh, wow.
So their branding's throughout the film.
Right. So that's why they keep cutting back to that poster.
I think that must be what it is, yeah.
Of a person who is not dressed at all.
No, he's
like,
what's he learning from that? Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I keep going, he's going to be confused because it looks like all the padding's on the outside.
That's a very different hockey outfit.
Did you like the name of the jersey that he picked up, the player's name?
Chimpsky.
Yeah,
Ribchimpsky.
Ribchimpsky,
who is
good.
The captain who is not playing because he's injured.
Or is he? No, he's not.
He's
for
not.
For some
no,
reason.
No, at the very end, we find out he's been fined for months.
Yes.
Seems like
and
there's
loving,
something going on.
Loves hockey. Yeah, there's some other thing at play, but they've cut that arc.
Yeah, yeah. I imagine they were slashing arcs left, right, and center. I reckon this movie probably came in at about 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
You know,
and they're like, we can't cough up any of these getting out of bed montages.
Yeah.
We'll cut storylines.
Storyline after storyline.
We'll leave like shadows of storylines to confuse.
Oh, yeah.
That's what people come to the cinema for.
Mm-hmm.
And this did get released into the cinemas.
The organ player.
Yeah.
Too goofy or not goofy enough for you, man?
I'd say not. Yeah, it was in that uncanny valley.
Yes.
Not. It needed to either go full goofy or dial it way back, you know?
For my money, he was too goofy.
Was not playing the songs that were playing either.
Not discernibly, no, no.
Which is an interesting
really,
way to do it.
Really intriguing the way that plays out.
Yeah. Is that a friend of Vince's?
Enemy and possibly
an enemy.
He doesn't come out of it
career.
Looking good, and he gets hit in the head
with a puck.
With a puck
via the chimp.
Yeah. So the Nuggets they've got one fan who's this old bloke.
The guy who plays Blue from Old School.
Correct.
You're my
and
boy, Blue.
Also in The Wedding Singer is the guy who is in the bar who gives him a hug.
Right. Yeah, he had some real glory years in the early 2000s.
I think he's great.
Yeah, he's very funny.
He is very, very good and looks a lot like an old person but doesn't look close to death.
Yeah.
He looks so old but so full of life.
Yeah.
Which is what I think I like about him.
I wouldn't check out his current situation.
Absolutely, 100% he's still kicking.
Is he?
Oh, sure.
Okay. This is 18 years ago.
Don't take this away from me.
No, all right. Yeah. He lives on in our minds and hearts.
Yeah. No, fantastic actor. And he's got the one line that felt a bit out of place. Like when the monkey plays for them. I'm going to keep saying monkey. I'm sorry. It's my instinct. I can't help myself.
Can't help your instincts.
He says, "Holy shit, these guys can play."
Yeah, right.
I was like, that's weird. That line, there didn't need to be a shit in this film.
Yeah.
That is out of nowhere.
Do you think maybe that's to give it a cool factor?
Edgy.
Yeah, that's pretty edgy.
Holy shit, these guys can play.
I think that's got to be it. I feel cool just sitting near a guy saying that.
I've been saying it since then. You know, and it worked for me.
Yeah. I say it down the train station when school kids are around and they just look up to me like a god. It's just the vibe I get from them when I'm doing shuckers.
Yeah, like a god.
Holy shit, you kids can play. And that's, you know, they're not even playing. So I think it's confusing to them. And they're like, this guy doesn't care about any rules.
Yes.
He'll say,
let's look up to him as a god and call the police.
Call the police and avert our eyes.
Yes. As one does with a god.
Yeah.
And call the police.
Yeah. Because, you know, is he okay?
Now, the hockey player, the goalkeeper is probably one of the worst players on the team.
He's no good. But apparently used to be.
Used to be good.
Used to be great.
There's a scene, he's trying to train with our mate, the Steve.
This is one of my few notes that I have on there as well.
Yep. Run it by me.
The note I've got down is, I have an idea, colon, glasses.
I have written down here, I have an idea, arrow, glasses.
I think, like, and that didn't, like, there was no backlash to it.
Let's be absolutely clear for the listeners about what it is that we saw. Right? He says they're playing they're playing hockey on the ice. Just the two of them. Steve, our main man, and Magoo.
Magoo. Great name. Love that name.
That's a great name.
Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo, a guy who couldn't see. I didn't see this coming. I couldn't see this coming. His eye condition, whatever it is, seems to replicate the symptoms of like a malarial fever or something, right? Like his eyes are darting around.
Yeah.
I feel like his breathing is like shaky and like everything's moving and like overlaid and it must be a nightmare for him. And this is not just while he's on the ice. This is his day-to-day life. And our man Steve says, I have an idea. And then we don't see the payoff for that for quite a while.
Yeah.
Until in the game, we see that Magoo is wearing glasses.
And now saving goals.
And saving goals like a champion.
Yeah. Big, thick glasses too, like Ray-Ban Wayfarers.
Oh.
The audience are now also, the crowds are wearing.
Are them. They?
Yeah. Like it very quickly becomes a thing. But at the all of a sudden you're going, wait, so did he not think of this? I only assumed he didn't do it because he was embarrassed, but there was
no
talk of that at all.
He hadn't thought of it.
Yeah, there was no, I just don't want to, and there was no scene of him going, trying them on, going, look, these look all right.
And the fact that no one on the team has mentioned to it, no one on the team has mentioned to the goalkeeper, like even up until the point that they're, you know, they're winning games and stuff, no one's mentioned to him that you cannot play hockey at, or like you can't save a single goal.
Yeah,
they're sort of treading around it, almost like you would in a movie where it's a war movie and somebody has some sort
He's
of
dying.
Trauma.
Yes,
and can't shoot straight or something like that. Right. Right, like somebody who has been tortured.
Right.
I just want to know if, like, in some way they're all collectively responsible for his eye damage and so they can't bring it up with him or, like...
That's true. There's a lot going on in the background there.
It is yeah, it's creepy, kind of the way they don't address it. I'm worried.
Anyway, he got glasses and things were solved instantly.
Instantly. And then we get another scene.
He was one of the ones who got a contract with the Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. The Mighty Ducks, interesting cross intertextual. Is that a real team, the Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, it is
Ducks?
Now. I think it became one after the movies. Yeah, like right. One of the franchises took on Mighty Ducks as the as their mascot logo.
Right. So this would have been before this happened. So the team, the Mighty Ducks, had gone from fiction into reality.
Yes.
Before
and then back into fiction.
Back into fiction, dipping back into the fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I hope that the goalkeeper for the Mighty Ducks after this film came out took on the name Magoo just to maintain that continuum between the real and the unreal, which is played with so well by Robert Vince in this film.
So well.
That's
you know you're watching Vince when you're not sure
what's reality.
What's going on? Oh, this is a Vince.
We get another scene with the Dean spilling something, getting really angry,
What a great tea.
Yeah.
What a great tea canister.
He had an amazing kettle.
Yeah.
Or teapot?
It was like a teapot,
coffee?
But a very impractical teapot.
So
like a stainless steel. I think it had a point at the bottom, like it couldn't sit up on its own. It needed its own stand.
Yeah, fancy stand. He's pouring the tea. He gets on the phone to someone. He gets angry about something.
He sees Jack on the news.
He sees Jack on the news.
Yeah,
that's
Jack,
right.
Jack, new starring chimp. All right, we've cut past the fact that at first the chimp was not allowed to play. And then the team heads from the league all got together. And the pitch from the Nuggets was, we profit share. So it's good for all of us if the chimp plays. Crowds will come. And they're like, all right. And then
instantly
the chimp.
On board.
Yeah. And of course, it meant that they all would lose to the team now because they had this unstoppable chimp player. Oh, that's something we haven't mentioned either is he's a really fast skater because Vince speeds up the tape.
Well, he plays with time.
Does.
Vince, at his heart, he's a director who plays with time.
Yes.
Slow motion for deaf people. Fast forward for chimps.
Yep.
Unless they're on a train and then painstaking montage.
Right. Yeah, I think that's how chimps go. When they're on the ice, things speed up.
He plays with seasons. It's the depths of winter in Canada. It's high summer at El Simeon Park. The chimps are wearing tropical outfits.
Somewhere between.
They have flowers in their hair.
And we've got to believe that they're not that far from each other.
Well, they're a train. They're a couple of stops on the train line.
Yeah.
Surely, unless he's sleeping for days.
Yeah.
Which is possible because Vince plays with time.
You just don't know. I was confused. And that's how I knew I was watching a Vince.
Yeah, and he spills the coffee on the while he's watching the TV. And he gets really angry, shouts something about getting me iced tea, I think, to his assistant. And we don't see the spill on his white linen pants.
Can't wait for the big payoff. It's coming.
Oh,
it's the rule of three,
coming.
I reckon. The
coming.
Next one is really going to be a big payoff.
Yep.
So he gets up there for the Harvest Final.
Harvest Cup. They've made it to the Harvest Cup Final. They drive into the big city lights of Vancouver.
And we know that it's a whole new place because a hot woman walks past and the kids ogle her.
Yeah, a quite conservatively dressed woman, right?
Yeah, it looks like wearing sort of high fashion maybe of the time.
Yeah,
90s,
but like, you know, like
runway fashion.
A long black coat and black pants, I think. And
yeah. But she was a head turner.
She was absolutely a head
turner. Whoa. Yeah, what did he say? I think it was like some sort of a whoa.
As was the building that they drove past. I remember the iconic line, man, look at the size of that building, which tells you that you're in the big city.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't see the building, but
you just knew it was
I
there.
I knew it was there.
That's again,
and
that's
I believed
Vince at
it
work.
Was there.
You don't need to see it. He doesn't show, he tells.
Yes.
Which I think is
the best directors.
Is the best direction.
Yes. Yes. I don't know if I don't know anything about hockey. Do you ever watch any ice hockey?
I find it hard to watch because it's so hard to see the puck. It moves around so fast. You're really watching the player who most likely looks like they've got the puck.
You're right.
You're like, I reckon that's the go at the puck. I haven't seen too much of it. I know there's a few quirks about it, like there's three periods.
I can always see the puck in the close-up shot that they do of the puck shooting through the air, wobbling slightly.
I love that shot. Yeah, that's great.
Which they definitely didn't use that same shot several times.
No. Geez, the chimp had a great strike.
What a strike.
Is that a slap shot?
Slap shot, sure. Yeah. Snapshot?
Snapshot of the slap shot.
Yeah.
So good. He had a powerful hit.
Yeah, didn't see that coming. There was no reason for that to be the case.
No.
Except, I guess, the fibers that they have in their arms that are twisted, true. Not side by side like in humans.
Yes, our bloody our greatest weakness, our side by side fibers.
Yeah.
That'll be our undoing.
But why I ask you about the hockey is because they have very loose chin straps on those helmets.
Yeah. And
did you notice that?
Very unprotected chins as well.
Totally unprotected
chins. There must be jaws broken all the time. Big hits as well. It must be. The American sports are easily the most violent sports. You sometimes hear about like Americans will come down here and they'll be like, geez, I can't believe you guys play football without pads and stuff. But then you watch NFL or ice hockey where they've got a lot of pads. Because of the pads, they fucking smash each other like a million times harder. They go like flying through the air. It's brutal. And a lot of them die young because of it. Like, it's a real problem, apparently. Ex-NFL players have brain damage, and it's very common.
Yes.
They've got a brain bank that's trying to research it. It's wild. Anyway, is that the question?
Mine was about chin straps, but yes.
Yeah, it is amazing that how... And AFL seems to be having more and more issues. Australian Rules Football Professional League with concussion. There's two Saints players, support. One of them's out for the rest of the season because he's had six concussions in his career, and he's about his mid-20s.
Mm.
And all of a sudden he had one, and then a week later he couldn't remember the game, and he was just getting intense headaches, and he played the following week and felt weird, and he hasn't played since.
Yeah, that's not okay.
And it's just, it feels like it's happening more, but I think what's actually happening is all of a sudden they're talking about it, and it's not just man up and cop it.
Yeah.
Just you got to run it out, run it off. Now it's like, I feel weird.
I can
all the time.
I can tell you that what they need to do is get a chimp on those teams.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So they allow the chimp because, because they're all going to make money out of it. And I guess they do, even though it costs every other team.
And there only seem to be about two or three more games in the season.
Yeah.
Which
and all of the
Nuggets win all of and streak through to the Harvest Cup final.
and then the Harvest Cup final is there. They're in
it's
the big city.
Us.
Huge stadium in Vancouver.
Enormous stadium.
Like
yes.
Sold at thousands of people are there.
I'm going to say 3,000. And maybe 30,000.
Two of them of that crowd is the Dastardly Dean and his sort of fumbly, weird offsider.
Who we've really only just met.
So inept. But
really inept.
And they see the chimps there.
They see the chimps.
The plan, they hatch a plan, which is we'll get him after the game.
But not before the girl sees him there.
Like yes.
The little girl. And this is where we get a really important scene for me. Because she's carrying two big cups of brown liquid. We don't know what they are. And she bumps into the dean. Now, the dean is wearing a white linen suit. And
I did not pick up any.
We see a close-up of the liquid hitting the pants of the dean.
Ah, finally.
Yes. But we do not see, this is what we do not see, because Vince always, he always leaves you wanting more. We do not see a wide shot in which we see that those pants are actually on that dean. So we get a... We see her spilling. We see a close-up of brown liquid hitting pants. What we have been teased for and have been crying out for this whole film, but nothing to show that those pants are on the dean. And I don't know what is going on, and I don't know why the world is like this.
Do you think it's a Maybe it's a...
I'll tell you what it is. They had one pair of pants. They had one pair of pants for the dean. They did not have money for a second pair of pants. Yeah. They did not have money to clean that pair of pants. It was let's get all the shots and then we'll get the pants dirty once at the very end.
Right.
In a back at the studio in a locked off shot right. so that we don't have to do it twice.
That does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I hate to destroy a bit of the magic there, but that's a little bit of my insight from but I think, behind don't you the think scenes of in the a, old TV and film industry.
To me, in a lot of ways, that just again illuminates the genius of Vince.
Mm-hmm.
What he does mm-hmm. on a shoestring budget, which yes. I believe to be a few million dollars.
Mm-hmm. That's how much I spend on shoestrings.
He has stretched this one linen suit into so much comedy gold.
Yes, yes.
So much, oh, you're almost begging for it by the end. Or you were. I hardly noticed, to be honest. And then the dean's gone. He's sitting up in the stand. He's telling his weird offsider, we'll get him after the match. Obviously, the sister can lip read.
Yes.
She sees from the other side of the
what
stadium.
They're planning.
She can both lip read and has telescopic eyes.
Yes.
Because she can see 100 meters away yes. what lips are saying.
Yes.
She is then able to get the attention of her brother, who is quite a distance away.
Yes.
Let him know they're getting him after the match.
He hatches a plan.
A great plan. We don't hear what it is. This is classic kids cinema. A lot of whispering happens for the next minute or so. One character's whispering to another character. That character's whispering to another character, and so on.
The whispering scene.
Yeah.
They have it in every kid's film.
Yeah, you got to.
Yeah, it's always, you know, 95% of the way into the film, you have a good whispering scene. That's how you get the awards.
Yes.
And
sometimes it ends up in confusion. Not in this case. Mm-hmm. The plan was set out. They didn't want us to figure it out because it was pretty complex.
Yes.
Basically, it was the old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. Matt, tell us what happened.
So we see, and they really don't want us to, they do believe it's a big reveal. Because they don't show it, they show, what's Jack Steve, is it?
Steve. Steve Westacott or something like that?
The actor / model.
Westover.
Westover. Steve Westover. He jumps out in a cab. He's off. He's heading to the airport.
He's in a cab. He's wearing a tie and a shirt for some reason.
Yeah, he's changed. He's taken the time to change.
He's left the Harvest Cup.
Yes. He's the star of the team.
He's the star of the team. He's just gone.
He's asked for the driver to put it on the radio. So it's big enough. This tiny junior hockey thing is on the radio. It's been commentated on the radio.
It's not tiny.
No, it's huge. Sorry, it's huge.
The event of the season.
Yes.
And he's riding in the cab. And we don't see anyone else in the cab with him.
And
then we see, back on the ice,
what's the name of the chimp again?
Jack.
Jeff. Jack. Jack. And it's going down to the wire. Scores a level.
Yes.
The puck sits on the goal line. Just needs a nudge to get over.
And
every player is hand-to-hand battle.
Wailing on each other.
Yeah.
Thumps, smashing against the glass.
Can someone punching. Get through? Then we see Jack. Name on the back says Jack.
That's how you know it's Jack.
Assume it's Jack.
Name
I'm pretty
on
sure
the back
it was a,
says Jack.
I'm pretty sure it was a chimp. Playing at this point, very chimpy movements, slides under, nudges the puck into the goal on the buzzer for the win.
Mm.
Gets up in the celebrations. Everyone's loving it. Jack scored the goal. Helmet comes off Jack.
Who is it? It's Jack.
It's the sister.
Oh, it's the sister.
Yeah, you missed it.
That's how
it was
much
a blink
I believe
and
the
you
story
missed,
that you were telling me.
Which I love because... Obviously, we talked about it before, the helmets hardly cover the face.
Mm.
Can you tell the difference between a girl's bottom half of her head and a chimp?
I can't, and let me tell you, it's got me into a lot of trouble.
Yeah, well, you really got to, I've been meaning to bring that up with you. And then we find out that Jack and the teen heartthrob are at the airport. He's putting him on the plane
to El Simeon.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're getting on together, though. He's got enough money on him.
No.
Wait.
He just puts the chimp on.
Does he doesn't get on.
Yeah. No, he puts him on. You see the
oh,
the
that's
chimp
right.
walk down the ramp with the hostess.
Yes.
The air hostess.
No questions asked.
Yeah. There's a half-hearted attempt at that little handhold, chimp handhold thing.
It's a beautiful thing.
The chimp decides not to.
Yeah.
The air hostess awkwardly keeps her hand out.
As nine takes. The director told her. That was the closest they got. Just commit to it this time.
Yeah. We'll fix it in a montage.
Yep.
And then the chimp is off. He lands at El Simeon. He meets the sensitively portrayed maintenance man. Yes. Who's now working there. Somehow. Which I thought was quite nice.
That was nice. So that's a real happy ending.
I actually felt that much more than I felt him reuniting with his parents.
Yeah.
As like a moment. That was good.
Yeah, yeah. Because there was that weird thing of, oh, he's meeting the other people who play his role.
Mm.
Which felt weird. But, and both of them I think were half-dressed. I think the other two were sharing one outfit.
But an outfit that was made up of two pairs of pants. Two pairs of shorts.
Yeah, and then we're back.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they weren't both. I think they were both topless.
Okay, that is very possible. I mean, I was paying very close attention.
Weird to refer to a topless chimp.
Well, you've just done it.
I have.
And you've aroused half our listenership.
Yes.
And then we go back to the game. Celebrations keep going. No questions asked about the winning goal being scored by someone who's not registered to play on this team.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's an issue. Is that an issue?
Yes.
Okay. There's no way that's sports.
You can't just throw in any player in the last period.
What if it's
secretly?
What if it's going to attract kids to the people to the game? Well, we all get a profit share, so we're all going to benefit.
I think then, yeah. I mean, that happened behind the scenes.
Yeah,
where that's possible. But they would have had to have put her name on the list. Maybe she was always on there.
Always keep a young girl on the list just in case something like this happens.
Yeah, for the switcheroo scenario, the switcheroo play.
Yep.
And then a few different players are picked up by different professional teams.
Yes, one of them being the fictional, now real, Mighty Ducks, now fictional again.
Yes. And then out.
He doesn't have to ask his parents.
No, because he's already thought about it. I've already thought about it. You might. Why ask the question then? That could have been more efficient.
Yeah.
The scout goes, you might need to think about this, ask your parents. I've already thought about it.
Very thinly sketched the parent characters. Very, especially that dad.
The dad is, yeah.
I know him as dad who drinks a cup of coffee.
Yeah, and couldn't find his glasses because Jack wore them.
Yeah. Interesting montage, that one.
Beautiful montage. Well, that's the movie.
One of my favourite montages.
I think everyone who's listening has definitely seen the movie. Probably a lot of people who aren't listening have seen the movie as well, I'd say. And those of you still listening here now will be so glad to hear that there are two sequels, and we will have Andy back.
Yeah, and I'd be very interested to see what happens to the Dean's pants in those movies.
Yes, I will be very happy about finding that out, have they not just built that up even further? That's in some ways a cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, and that's how you know they've left it open for a sequel. Like, I could feel it was coming because they kept us wanting that.
I want it. I want it more than ever. So one, Andy, as you'll know, as a regular listener to this show that is basically just beginning now, one of the regular segments is the primate mascot segment, which I imagine a better name will come up. This week we're going to feature, have you heard of the team, the Phoenix Suns?
No.
They're an NBA team. They've had a few big-name NBA players in the past, including Sir Charles Barkley. Are you familiar with his work?
No. Is Gnarls Barkley a reference to Charles Barkley?
I reckon you must be one of the first people to have heard Gnarls Barkley before Charles Barkley.
Yeah, well.
That's beautiful.
I travel backwards through time.
So they're called the Phoenix Suns, but their mascot is Go the Gorilla.
Great.
This is the story via Wikipedia, the most trusted resource of how that came to be. Just very briefly, because we've talked in so much detail about that film. For the first 11 seasons of their existence in the NBA, the Suns had no official mascot. If they did, you'd imagine it'd be some sort of a sun.
Yes.
But some years later, this mascot was born by accident. A messenger for Eastern Onion, which I guess is a... No, I know it was a singing telegram service because it's the very next thing.
Onion? You sure that's not Union?
I mean, it says Onion, but very possibly could be Union or Orion, maybe. Eastern Orion, do you think? Union feels right.
Yeah.
The messenger in this case was dressed as a gorilla, right? As he left, the stadium security suggested he do a few dances. The security suggests
they're making these calls.
Under the basket during a timeout, and the fans loved it. The messenger had a great time. So he kept coming to the games until he was officially invited to be part of the team. And this is now why he is the official mascot, Go the Gorilla, for the Phoenix Suns.
Fantastic.
His name is Henry Rojas. Rojas.
Beautiful.
Is that a beautiful thing? There was an early attempt to have a costume involving a sunflower.
Oh, see, there you go. I thought you said that there. Oh, is that a costume for the gorilla? Is it a gorilla, a man dressed as a gorilla dressed as a sunflower?
No, I think it was just the sunflower, which I think makes some sense, but that it just didn't work. They didn't.
It was unpopular.
No, it didn't make it happen. I guess it was a sunflower. Apparently, the Suns gorilla is one of the most famous mascots in the NBA. All because of a messenger. Danced one time.
See, there's
always isn't that a beautiful story?
Yeah. Now, is there anything on there about how he was able to get onto the team at, you know, such short notice? And did he have to be? Have to be on. See, I think that's interesting. He didn't have to be on the list or on any sort of list to get on there
to
and
dance,
start dancing,
dance in the breaks. Yeah, I think it, which is disappointing because it feels like it's one rule for chimps and another for gorillas.
That's what I've always said.
I don't know if you have anything to wrap up. Can you feel me fumbling around for some sort of format to finish the show?
Do we rate the film? Do you want to rate the film?
Yeah, sure. What are we going to rate out of how many bananas? How bananas?
What if we rate it in terms of how close to humanity it is?
Right, great.
Like on a scale from spider monkey.
Yeah.
To Homo sapien. Where are we at with this?
Jack the character or the film?
The film.
How much does it reflect humanity back to us? So the movie
MVP. That's what we're looking
MVP,
for, I think, in a chimp.
Most valuable.
That's what's
primate.
Always so fascinating about primates. I think is how close they are to us and what they can tell us about ourselves.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I think that's true. That's true. I'd say the film as a whole was beautiful and touching. Mm. I'd say 3.5 bananas, which I think on your scale equates to
Eastern Lowland.
An Eastern Lowland.
Yeah.
Monkey.
Gorilla.
Gorilla.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that, I reckon. Yeah, it's definitely.
We could do it as a DNA percentile. Shared DNA.
Shared DNA.
Yeah.
Yeah, out of 100%. Yeah.
So I'd say something like the low 90s, probably like 92 percentile DNA shared between this movie and humans.
Yes.
So I guess we should probably start wrapping up, Andy. Thanks so much for joining me today on the first or second, kind of the first episode of Primates.
Look, it was great to be here on the first, no second, no kind of the first episode.
Thanks.
We had a great energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can people hear you outside of this podcast right now?
Right now they can go to the Two in the Think Tank podcast that I do with Alastair Tromblay Alastair Tromblay Birchall, who I'm sure you'll have on a future episode of the Primates podcast.
I'm trying to get him locked in.
Great. Well,
he's
good luck with that.
A slippery little sucker.
He is
though.
A slippery fish. Yes. Yeah. And we come up with 5 sketch ideas, and that's very fun and very silly. And there's hundreds of episodes you can waste your life listening to.
Probably put a link to that in the description here. And where are you on Twitter and such?
I'm at Stupid Old Andy. Yeah. Where are you?
I'm at MattStew_art.
Fantastic.
Isn't that the best ever?
I like how proud you are of it.
I think if you look deeper, you'll see. If you're looking in my eyes, you'll see that it's not pride. It's a deep shame. But anyhow, I did that about 10 years ago. So
great.
Just move on, mm-hmm. Andy. Please,
I'll try. It's clearly me that's got the issue.
Yes. Please join us next week when we do another Primates episode about another prime ape.
And
no,
we'll,
that's not it.
Until then, we'll see you in the Simian Nature Reserve.
We'll
see you at El Simian. You know, that's our classic sign-off.
We'll see you at El Simian, and good day.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.